A second chance. 13. Everyone's friend. The devotees of the Lord are very kind. They preach Krishna consciousness for the welfare of the general public, and thus they are friends to all living entities. Others cannot be the well-wishers of all. The politicians, for example, engage in so-called service of their countrymen, but they are not the true friends of everyone in the land, because although they may serve the interests of their fellow men, they do not look after the interests of the animals. In this way they discriminate. A devotee is a friend to every living entity, whether man, animal, insect, or plant. A devotee is not willing to kill even an ant, but a non-devotee will mercilessly send animals to the slaughterhouse, and in the same breath, declare himself the friend of everyone. Krishna, God, is the best friend of every living entity. He is equal to everyone. He is not only the friend of the residents of Vrindavana, the goddess, his parents, the coward men and boys, the cows, but he is everyone's friend, because everyone is part and parcel of him. So Krishna loves everyone unlimitedly. And Krishna's devotees inherit the super excellent loving qualities of Krishna. Therefore they are truly the friends of everyone. The karmas, fruitive workers, perform sinful acts for their personal interest, killing innocent animals, and becoming puffed up with their material opulence. Jnanis, those in search of liberation through knowledge of Brahman, are also interested only in themselves. But Bhaktis, or devotees, are interested in the well-being of everyone. A devotee is especially merciful to the fallen, conditioned souls. Lord Caitanya Mahaprabhu is the personification of bhakti, loving devotion to God, teaching all of us how to become devotees. He is therefore called Padadipavana, or the one who delivers the fallen, conditioned souls. Anyone following in his footsteps is also Padadipavana. Ajamila was now in the same mood, and thus he thought, "Now I shall be able to become the friend of all living entities and become peaceful." This should be the standard of determination for all Krishna conscious persons. A devotee of Krishna should free himself from the clutches of Maya, and he should also be compassionate to all others suffering in those clutches. The activities of the Krishna consciousness movement are meant not only for oneself, but for others also. This is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. One who is interested only in his own salvation is not as advanced in Krishna consciousness as one who feels compassion for others, and who therefore propagates Krishna consciousness. Such an advanced devotee will never fall down, for Krishna will give him special protection. That is the sum and substance of the Krishna consciousness movement. Everyone is like a plaything in the hands of the illusory energy, and is acting as she dictates. One should come to Krishna consciousness to release oneself and others from this bondage. Association with devotees. These verses lucidly explain how a living entity is victimized by his material conditioning. The beginning of illusion is to misidentify oneself as the body. Therefore the Bhagavad Gita begins with the spiritual instruction that one is not the body, fit the spirit soul within the body. One can always remain conscious of this fact, only if one remains pure, by chanting the holy name of Krishna, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and staying in the association of devotees. This is the secret of success. Therefore we stress that one should chant the holy name of the Lord, and keep oneself free from the contaminations of this material world, especially the contaminations of lusty desires for illicit sex, meat-eating intoxication, and gambling. With determination one should vow to follow these principles, and thus be saved from the miserable condition of material existence. The first necessity is to become freed from the bodily conception of life. Ajamila was immediately freed from the illusory bodily conception of life by hearing the conversation between the Visnudutas and the Yamadutas. The proof is that right after this incident he left his wife and children, and went straight to Hardwar for further advancement in spiritual life. It is mentioned here that he took shelter in a temple of Vishnu, and executed the process of devotional service. Our Krishna consciousness movement has established temples all over the world for this very purpose. There is no need to travel to Hardwar. Anyone can take shelter of the temple nearest him, engage in the devotional service of the Lord, and thus achieve the highest success in life, by becoming absorbed in Krishna consciousness. If one worships the deity of Krishna in the temple, one's mind will naturally be absorbed in thought of the Lord and his form. There is no distinction between the form of the Lord and the Lord himself. Therefore Bhakti Yoga is the easiest system of yoga. Yogis try to concentrate their minds upon the form of the Super Soul, Vishnu, within the heart, but this same objective is easily achieved when one's mind is absorbed in thinking of the deity in the temple. In every temple there is a transcendental form of the Lord, and one may easily think of this form. By seeing the Lord during the formal worship ceremony, or adi, by sacrificing one's money, time, and energy for the worship of the deity, and by constantly thinking of the form of the deity, one becomes a first-class yogi. This is the best process of yoga, as confirmed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the Bhagavad Gita, 6.47. Yajanam api sarvasam madgatan intaratmana sredhavan bhajat yomam samayukta tamamata. Of all yogis, the one with great faith who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself, and renders transcendental loving service to me, he is the most intimately united with me in yoga, and is the highest of all. So the first class yogi is he who controls his senses, and detaches himself from material activities by always thinking of the form of the Lord. Back to Godhead. The Visnudutas who had rescued Ajamila came before him again when his mind was firmly fixed upon the form of the Lord. They had gone away for some time, to give Ajamila a chance to become firmly fixed in meditation upon the Lord. Now that his devotion had matured, they returned to take him back to Godhead. Understanding that the same Visnudutas had returned, Ajamila offered them his obeisances, by bowing down before them. Ajamila was now ready to return home, back to Godhead, and thus he gave up his material body, and regained his original, spiritual body. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, 4.9, Janma karma kami divayam, evramyo vedi tat vita tayakt vedetam punar janma, nadi mam iti so rajuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. The result of perfection in Krishna consciousness is that, after giving up one's material body, one is immediately transferred to the spiritual world in one's original, spiritual body to become an associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Some devotees go to Vaikuntha to become associates of Lord Vishnu, and others go to Goloka Vrindavana to become associates of Krishna. Spiritual airplanes from the spiritual planets, like the one that came for Ajamila, can take one back home, back to Godhead, in a second. The speed of such a spiritual airplane can only be imagined. Spirit is finer than the mind, and everyone has experience of how swiftly the mind travels from one place to another. Therefore, one can imagine the swiftness of the spiritual form by comparing it to the speed of the mind. In less than even a moment, a perfect devotee can return home, back to Godhead, immediately after giving up his material body. Such perfection is not available to anyone but devotees of the Lord. It has been seen that, even after achieving so-called perfection, many karmas, jnanas, and yogis become attached to material activities again. Many so-called svamis and yogis give up material activities as false, jagannathaya, but after some time they nevertheless resume material activities by opening hospitals and schools, or performing other activities for the benefit of the public. Sometimes they participate in politics, although still falsely declaring themselves sannyasis, members of the renounced order. All these activities are illusory aspects of the material world. If one actually desires to get out of the material world, he must take to devotional service, which begins with Sravanam Kirtanam Visna, chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. The Krishna consciousness movement has actually proved this. In the Western countries, many young boys and girls who had been addicted to drugs, and who had other bad habits, which they could not give up, abandoned all those propensities and very seriously engaged in chanting the glories of the Lord as soon as they joined the Krishna consciousness movement. In other words, this process is the perfect method of atonement for actions performed in the modes of passion and ignorance. The Srimad Bhagavatam, January 2, 19, confirms this. Tadrajas tamo bhava kamalabhateyaskayi sita edaranuvidham sthitam satvaprasiddhi. As a result of acting under the modes of passion and ignorance, one becomes increasingly lusty and greedy, but when one takes to the process of chanting and hearing about Krishna, one comes to the platform of goodness and becomes happy. As he advances in devotional service, all his doubts are completely eradicated. Bidayat Pradaya Granthas Chidayant Sarvasamsaya. Thus the knot of his desire for fruitive activities is cut to pieces. At the time of death one is certainly bewildered, because his bodily functions are disordered. At that time, even one who throughout his life has practiced chanting the holy name of the Lord may not be able to chant the Hare Krishna mantra very distinctly. Nevertheless, such a person receives all the benefits of chanting the holy name. While the body is fit, therefore, why should we not chant the holy name of the Lord loudly and distinctly? If a person does so, it is quite possible that even at the time of death he will be able to properly chant the holy name of the Lord with love and faith. In conclusion, one who chants the holy name of the Lord constantly is guaranteed to return home, back to Godhead, without a doubt. Chapter 19. Erasing All Doubts. King Parikshit said, O my Lord, O Sukadeva Goswami, Yamaraja is the controller of all living entities in terms of their religious and irreligious activities, but his order had been foiled. When his servants, the Yamadutas, informed him of their defeat by the Visnudutas, what did he reply? O great sage, never before has it been heard anywhere that an order from Yamaraja has been baffled. Therefore I think that people will have doubts about this that no one but you can eradicate. Since that is my firm conviction, kindly explain the reasons for these events. Sri Sukadeva Goswami replied, my dear king, when the order carriers of Yamaraja were baffled and defeated by the order carriers of Visnu, they approached their master, the controller of Samayamani Puri and master of sinful persons, to tell him of this incident. The Yamadutas said, our dear lord, how many controllers are there in this material world? How many causes are responsible for manifesting the various results of activities performed under the three modes of material nature? If in this universe there are many judges who disagree about punishment and reward, their contradictory actions will neutralize one another, and no one will be punished or rewarded. Otherwise, if their contradictory acts fail to neutralize one another, everyone will have to be both punished and rewarded. Since there are many different karmas, or fruitive workers, there may be different judges to give them justice, but just as one central emperor controls different departmental rulers, there must be one supreme controller to guide all the judges. The supreme judge must be one, not many. It was our understanding that you are that supreme judge, and that you have jurisdiction even over the demigods. Our impression was that you are the master of all living entities, the supreme authority who discriminates between the pious and impious activities of all human beings. But now we see that the punishment ordained under your authority is no longer effective, since your order has been transgressed by four wonderful and perfect persons. We were bringing the most sinful Ajamila toward the hellish planets, following your order, when those beautiful persons from Sitiloka forcibly cut the knots of the ropes with which we were arresting him. As soon as the sinful Jamila uttered the name Narayana, these four beautiful men immediately arrived and reassured him, saying, "Do not fear. Do not fear. We wish to know about them from your lordship. If you think we are able to understand them, kindly describe who they are." Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, "Thus having been questioned, Lord Yamaraja was very pleased with his order carriers, because of hearing from them the holy name of Narayana. He remembered the lotus feet of the Lord, and began to reply, Srimad Bhagavatam 6.11. Who's in charge?" Maharaja Parikshit became astonished and asked Sukadeva Goswami, "How is it possible for anyone to surpass the order of Yamaraja? Nobody can supersede a warrant issued by the police magistrate. Similarly, Yamaraja is the chief of the universal police, and he acts on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Yamaraja's business is to arrest all the criminal living entities and subject them to punishment in his region, Yamaloka. Sinful persons are taken there and put into various hellish conditions. The case of Ajamila, however, is exceptional. The Yamadutas were ordered to arrest him and bring him to the court of Yamaraja, but the Visnudutas released him from their grasp. The Visnudutas' interference with the Yamadutas was apparently unlawful, but just as Lord Visnu can do anything, his messengers can likewise nullify any order in the material world. That is the power of the Supreme Lord. In the material world, no one has the authority or power to check the orders of Yamaraja, but the Visnudutas acted under the higher authority of the Supreme Lord. When the Yamadutas returned to Yamaloka, they immediately went to Yamaraja and asked, "How is it that we were checked from carrying out our duty? My dear Lord, how many controllers are there? Are you the only controller, or are there many other controllers?" Less intelligent men think that a particular demigod, such as Indra, Surya, or Chandra, is supreme. This is like thinking the policeman on the street is all-powerful within the state. There are so many police constables controlling the crowd in the street, but only foolish persons do not understand that above the constables are many higher officers, all the way up to the police commissioner, the governor of the state, and the president. The Yamadutas simply carried out the orders of Yamaraja, thinking him to be the supreme controller, and this was the first incident in which they were stopped from executing his orders. Srila Visvanatha Chakravarti Thakura says that the Yamadutas were so disappointed that it was almost with anger that they asked Yamaraja whether there were many masters other than him. Furthermore, because the Yamadutas had been defeated and their master could not protect them, they were inclined to say that there was no need to serve such a master. If a servant cannot carry out the orders of his master without being defeated, what is the use of serving such a powerless master? Because the Yamadutas had been stopped, they doubted whether Yamaraja actually had the power to punish the sinful. Although they had gone to arrest Ajamila, following Yamaraja's order, they found themselves unsuccessful because of the order of some higher authority. Therefore they were unsure of whether there were many authorities or only one. If there were many authorities who gave different judgments, which could be contradictory, the person might be wrongly punished or wrongly rewarded, or he might be neither punished nor rewarded. According to our experience in the material world, a person punished in one court may appeal to another. Thus the same man may be either punished or rewarded according to different judgments. However, in the law of nature or the court of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there cannot be such contradictory judgments. The judges and their judgments must be perfect and free from contradictions. Actually, the position of your marriage was very awkward in the case of Ajamila, because according to everything they had been taught by Yamaraja, the Yamadutas were right in attempting to arrest Ajamila, but the Visnudutas had baffled them. Although Yamaraja, under these circumstances, was accused by both the Visnudutas and the Yamadutas, he is perfect in administering justice, because he is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore he will explain what his real position is, and how everyone is controlled by the Supreme Controller, the Personality of Godhead. In this world there must be measures for controlling the living entities. Sastra, or scripture, is meant for controlling civilized men. From this word comes the word sisaya, meaning disciple, or one who voluntarily accepts the control or guidance of the spiritual master. Those who are not gentle must be controlled by astra, or weapons. The police force needs guns and clubs to control the thieves and rogues of society. The Yamadutas inquired from their master whether there are different departments of justice for different types of men. In the material world, a person is contaminated by some combination of the three qualities of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, and he conducts his activities accordingly. Symptoms of one chiefly under the influence of the mode of ignorance are laziness, excessive sleeping, and uncleanliness. The main symptom of one chiefly under the influence of the mode of passion is a strong desire to exploit material nature and other living entities for one's own sense enjoyment. And the chief symptom of one under the influence of the mode of goodness is knowing things as they are. To such a person, everything is revealed in its proper way. The Yamadutas suggested, there may be many controllers of people in the different modes of nature, but who is the chief controller, and how are his actions carried out? As far as we know, you are the controller of everyone. In governmental management there may be departmental officials to give justice to different persons, but the law must be one, and that central law must control everyone. The Yamadutas could not imagine that two judges would give two different verdicts in the same case, and therefore they wanted to know who the supreme judge is. The Yamadutas were certain that Ajamila was a most sinful man, but although Yamaraja wanted to punish him, the Visnudutas excused him. This was a puzzling situation that the Yamadutas wanted Yamaraja to clarify. The Yamadutas had thought that Yamaraja was the only person in charge of administering justice. They were fully confident that no one could counteract his judgments, but now, to their surprise, his order had been violated by the four wonderful persons F. Ramsitaloka. Srilavasvanatha Chakravarti Thakura suggests that the Yamadutas may have said to Yamaraja, "We think that your absolute power of controlling is finished, because four very wonderful personalities checked us from executing our duty, which you gave us." Visvanatha Chakravarti also remarks that the Yamadutas may have wanted to bring the Visnudutas before Yamaraja. If Yamaraja could then have punished the Visnudutas, the Yamadutas would have been satisfied. Otherwise, they desired to commit suicide. Before pursuing either course, however, they wanted to know about the Visnudutas from Yamaraja, who is also omniscient.